Hello, this is Laurie Mercier and Denise Morris for the Old Moles Movie Review. Some 20 years after the making of American Dream, we think it's useful to revisit this Barbara Kopple film to understand how Reaganomics and corporate power advanced in the 1980s and how activists today might learn from the struggles of local P9 workers. The film follows the impossibly tough choices working people had to make and continue to make in industries across the country when the Hormel meatpacking plant in Austin, Minnesota, demanded that they take a substantial pay cut at the same time it was making very high profits. The local union decides to defy its international union, the United Food and Commercial Workers, and fight back and resist the new economic order that corporations like Hormel were forcing on workers. Although we see the face of corporate intransigence, most of the film focuses on the divisions between the local and its reliance on one Ray Rogers and his corporate campaign to fight against wage cuts, and the international's Louis Anderson, who believes the local's actions not only doom its own survival, but the survival of pattern bargaining and the fate of other meatpacking workers in the country. It's a heartbreaking story as we view this some decades later, knowing what will follow as workers and their family and community divide over strategies, whether to make concessions in order to preserve jobs or to risk everything in order to take a stand. But it's also uplifting as we see many workers and their supporters across the country imagine a more militant democratic labor movement. Critics praise the film, which won the Academy Award for Best Documentary and other awards in 1990, but the labor movement was divided in its analysis, much like it was divided over the strategies of the militant P9 workers. So here we are now, Denise. Why do we want to revisit Barbara Kopple's American Dream?
Well, it's I have been actually waiting for a while for a good excuse to review this film or to bring this film forward. Of course, we've been presented with many opportunities of late. If we look even just to Wisconsin, you know, the unions came out with their claim that they had and were willing to give concessions and of course, Scott Walker was just wanting to take more. But it took just a few days, I think, for rank and file to say, you know, we may not be really that interested in giving concessions. So that some of these same dynamics occur, of course, are occurring within the labor movement. And now we have a high-profile strike and labor actions in Longview, Washington. So we're facing really, I think, much of the fallout from these strategies, corporate strategies of the 80s that really decimated not just workers' wages and benefits, but unions themselves and also questions about strategy, questions about how to go forward, and questions about what to ask for and how to take a stand as a rank-and-file democratic union movement. So I think that's partly why this film is really important. Interestingly, of course, it's titled The American Dream, but in 1989, or even when the strike was happening began in 1985, the title seems more ironic than fitting into some sort of landscape of today where the American Dream is being talked about as needing to be resurrected, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think the American Dream represented this, at least for four decades in the mid-20th century, this idea that through union strength, workers could gain some modicum of a comfortable lifestyle. Of course, the irony is that that dream came at a high cost. Just looking at the meatpacking industry, workers had to, it was incredibly dangerous and dirty, unpleasant work and mind-numbing, body-numbing. So that was quite a sacrifice that workers contributed to this capitalist economy in exchange for some very minimum wages that would allow them to own a home, send their kids to school, etc. But all of that's under assault, and I think that's a real strength of this film as we look back and see the unfolding of this new economic order in the 1980s where corporations are given free rein to basically cut wages, speed up the assembly line, make conditions even more difficult in the workplace, all without any kind of resistance. And so the local P9 refusal to roll over really became a symbol for workers across the country in terms of how people had to make a stand, even if it meant they may lose their jobs, which ultimately is what happened. I mean, ultimately, the corporation was able to hire replacement workers. Many of the local P9 workers walked or crossed the picket line to save their jobs, and 1,000 or so workers never did regain employment with Hormel. But that's the question then. What was this strike, a success or a failure?
Right, and that is partly what I think folks might find really informative and important about seeing this film, or even revisiting it if you've seen it. Because I saw it many years ago, and in this recent viewing, I think I appreciate it even more. I see it as sort of a roadmap, and also maybe perhaps a prophecy, you know. There's some amazing folks who are articulating then what we are seeing now, of course. I mean, the steamroller was already sort of moving towards, folks knew that, but nobody knew exactly how far it might go and how you know, vast the depths of, you know, falling over that cliff might be.
And no one knew how history would unfold.
Right.
That maybe this could work. If workers just resisted and developed enough solidarity across the country.
Right. And that is really important. I think one of the things the film does so well is to really show the way that, you know, folks began this dispute in a very small way when their wages were cut from $10.69 to $8.50. They were just cut. And I believe that this has happened before the contract actually expired, or it would be due to happen with the new contract. I'm not sure, but folks started to go door to door. This is a 22,000 population town, Austin, Minnesota. So there's a lot of community contact. Koppel really does a nice job of sort of filling us in or bringing us into this community that isn't entirely in solidarity with one another at this point, but that solidarity grows and builds. And once the P9 takes this more militant stand, it's clear that their own self-respect, their own self-worth is not so, and their enthusiasm for winning is not wrapped up in whether or not they have a job, but it takes on this whole other dynamic, which is about, you know, how do we save our communities? How do we connect our families and our lives, our working lives together so that this work, which is dangerous, is not the only thing that holds us together? I mean, we see people trying to struggle for a broader sense of social justice or social integration.
And on the other hand, there is the International Union, which is sort of portrayed as the more rational element here, or at least they're portraying themselves that way in the film, noting that there was no way this local effort could succeed because the meat packing industry was being hit by all kinds of crises, and the International Union felt like the local should go along with this kind of concession. So I think it portrays the struggles, the really heart-wrenching struggles that people go through day to day, trying to figure out which strategies are most appropriate in fending off this assault by corporate capitalism. So I think it provides us some important instruction for today as we kind of witness the same kinds of efforts by postal workers, teachers, the longshore workers to fight back. And that, I think, is the important lesson of the film, that without fight back, the steamroller will crush us all. And didn't you have a great quote that we might end with, Denise?
Yeah, this gentleman stands up at the end and says, you know, if we pulled together 2 years ago, speaking of the relationship between the local and the international, if we pulled together 2 years ago, we wouldn't be faced with this. The thing that's going on in America, we better start pulling together or by God, they're going to bury us.
So we encourage listeners to revisit the Barbara Koppel film, American Dream. This is Laurie Mercier and Denise Morris for the Old Mole Variety Hour.